Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life.
Welcome to Idle Red Hands. I'm Jeremy, and today we're talking with Cass Sawinski of Tomb Guardian Miniatures. Currently, they have a Kickstarter, and we want to let him tell us all about it. So, Cass, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on today.
Good, good. And can you tell us a little bit about Tomb Guardian?
Sure. Tomb Guardian's Miniatures, we started last year. Our company was started last July. It was a goal and something that I've wanted to do a long time, and is one of those projects that I never got around to. And last year, me and my son go to several conventions, but the one in particular is here in Columbus, Ohio. And we run a dungeon crawl adventure game that people go through, a dungeon crawl, and essentially solve mysteries and riddles and kill monsters and then eventually kill the boss at the end of the dungeon. And over the years, people have followed us, and the audience has grown. And this past year or last year, my son went home and told my wife about how many people wanted to play and was all excited because now he's 12, so he thought it was really, really cool. So my wife at that point said, well, honey, why don't you sit down and write your rules to the game and publish your rules? It's always something you wanted to do. And she was right. It was something I wanted to do, but you never have time to do it, and you always have something else in your life to do. So last year I decided, you know what? I'm going to do that. So we sat down, or I sat down and started writing the rules, and I really didn't understand how much time and energy and how complicated it is to write a set of rules from scratch. And during that time frame, my wife said, came to me and said, hey, do you have miniatures that go along with your rule set? And I told her, no, I just have my miniatures or whatever's on the market. I just go ahead and buy. And she's like, you know, why don't you create your own line of miniatures? And I was like, well, do you understand how expensive that project is? And she's like, yeah, but that's something that you want to do. And if that's something you want to do, I'll support you. And why don't you look into it? And that's exactly what we did, or what I did. I contacted some friends in the industry. I got a hold of Fortress Miniatures, Ben and Jeff, and they talked with them, and two wonderful individuals. And they got me in contact with several sculptors, and Bobby Jackson and Jason Wiebe I spoke to, told them my vision and what I wanted to create for my line of miniatures. And fortunately for us as a company, Bobby and Jason, if people are familiar with Reaper Miniatures or WizKids Miniatures, they produce their line of miniatures or their sculptors for them, and they agreed to sculpt for my company. So we are very, very fortunate in that regards. So we, of course, I hired them, told them my vision. We launched a line of miniatures last year, a set of dwarfs and monsters that we launched last year. And through a Kickstarter, unfortunately, we weren't successful on the first Kickstarter because it's the old adage that what you don't know, you don't know. And the reason was I didn't realize I set the target for the goal just too high. And so we didn't make it. So I canceled the Kickstarter early. We did launch that product line on pre-sales in December. And in December and January, we were very, very successful in that launch. And then I had, at the same time, Jason and Bobby work on our current Kickstarter, which is Valorous Vampires, which is a set of 10 vampires. It's a female faction of 10 vampires and undead undead miniatures.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. I saw the sculpts on your store for the dwarves, and the dwarves are also available in this Kickstarter as well.
Yes.
Saw that. Yeah, you can add everything.
It's great. We have three levels for campaign, essentially an a la carte level where individual can buy one miniature, or they can buy 100 miniatures, and they can choose which ones they wanted to purchase. Then you had the Valorth Vampire Pledge, which includes the 10 vampires, which we'll go over here in a second. I can go over the different vampires that are in the collection. Plus, that also includes our stretch goals, and we've hit two of our stretch goals, which the first stretch goal was a skeleton with a skeleton warrior with an axe, and then the second one was a set of three different coffins. Mm-hmm. And then the third level is the all-in level, which has essentially our entire collection of miniatures. Every miniature that we have in our collection, a person would get, plus double stretch goals.
Nice, nice. Wow, well, that sounds really good. So when you were putting together the idea of actually producing miniatures and you first pitched the idea to the sculptors, what kind of adjustments did you have to make, or what kind of feedback did you get from them? Was it a difficult process, or was it really fun on the kind of creatively?
Well, creatively it was fun. I mean, because it's one of those things that I knew for myself. I've been a gamer a very long time, going back into the 80s when I started playing D&D. And so I grew up with the old Roth Partha genre miniatures, and I really like that. And today's miniatures, I didn't feel have that genre. So I wanted to go back to that kind of sculpting. Mm-hmm. And you can definitely see it in the Dwarven faction that we launched last year. So talking with Bobby and talking with Jason, I decided to have Jason do the Dwarven faction. That's his niche. Mm-hmm. And Bobby really liked doing the monsters. So I kept that same style going into the vampires. And there's a reason we launched the vampires now. I know it's not something that people normally don't do, or normally do, is have a set of vampires out there. But there's a reason we did it. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you that here in a second. So Jason did all our vampires, or 10 vampires. And then again, Bobby did the monsters for us. The main reason for the launch of the Undead and the Vampire set for this Kickstarter is this is a smaller project for a much larger game that we're releasing, like I said, for the rules in the fall.
Right.
So all our figures that we're releasing back in December, on this current Kickstarter, we have four other Kickstarters planned for this year, four other factions, all tie into the Dungeon Crawl and Adventure modules that we're releasing in the fall for the game.
Oh, nice. Wow, that's great. So what's the name of the system? Like, what are you calling the system, the rule system?
We haven't come up with the name yet, so we're just going to call it Tomb Guardians right now. But
nice.
Essentially what a party of players will do is select five characters from a particular faction, mm-hmm. and they'll take those five characters and essentially go through an adventure. The first adventure that we have come up with is a lost, forgotten dwarven mine. And they'll go through the 10 different levels of the dungeon and play those characters to solve. Through each level, they'll solve different objectives. Essentially, it could be killing monsters, solving riddles, solving some problems, and based upon the interactions of the characters and the choices the characters and players make, determines on what's going to happen next. So you don't have to have essentially a DM running the game, because the game plays itself. So when you come to a particular objective and it's labeled, they'll read the book, and then based upon their selection of what they choose depends on what comes up next. And sometimes there's a lot of monsters. Sometimes there's a few monsters.
Nice.
But as the party clears those objectives during the particular level of the dungeon, at the end, when they get ready to go to the second level, they'll be able to increase either the stats of the party by equipment, increase the party stats or individual stats of the character. So you're basically playing a character the whole time.
Nice. Wow. I like that idea of like a faction-based party on a dungeon crawl. That's really unique. That feels good. And so you've got the dwarves and the vampires and undead. And I also saw on your website, Amazons are coming.
Yes, Amazons are coming. That's actually our next release. Those are already We've been working on those since February. I'm proud to say we just added Gene Van Horn as another sculptor of ours, which is again another sculptor that Reaper and WizKids use. And we just added him last week as our sculptors. So that's kind of exciting for us now that we have three sculptors. We have four sculptors working for us. We have the Amazons at the end of May, which is an entire female faction of Amazons. That's 10 female Amazons. Nice. A little bit different than the vampires, even though the vampires are led by Queen Balrith. Mm-hmm. She has three hench women, the cleric, which is the soul reaper, and a cleric are her two female partners. And then everybody else in the faction are male slaves or male servants to her. Mm-hmm. Oh, being nice. Being the anti-paladin, two grave spirits, and then four male slaves, those being the barbarian, the orc slave, an elven slave, and a templar slave.
Nice.
So the game is essentially set up for, in our world, we have created eight different factions that interact with each other, mm-hmm. and each faction has their mortal enemy per se, and they all react different with each other. So we have eight factions. Those factions are, of course, the good, neutral, and evil, the dwarves, the elves, and the templars. Then you got the barbarians and Amazons, which are all females. Mm-hmm. And then you have the vampires, the orcs, and the dark elves. So those are the eight factions.
Oh, nice.
We will eventually release.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a great selection. I like I like how you're theming them. I like the emphasis on female characters. And I noticed that even in your dwarves, you had there was split between genders, so there were a lot of female dwarf characters. I think that brings a lot more people into the game and gives them more options. That's good.
Yeah, I want to thank my wife for that one because she had said, you know, just don't release male figures, also do female figures. And mm-hmm. coming from a male like myself, I really didn't think of that, and I credit her with that suggestion. It was a great suggestion because she's right. I mean, you have female players, but you also have female characters, and so, you said, there are four female dwarven characters mm-hmm. in the set of 13 miniatures. The Amazons will have all females. In July, at the end of July, we're planning to release the orcs. Then in the fall we'll release Templars, and then right around Christmas time we'll release the Dark Elves.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's really good input on her part. And Lyle said to me, it sounds like you won the spouse lottery with her because she's sounds very valuable.
Nice. I did. It's funny because if you know my wife is not a gamer at all. I mean, she'll play games with the kids. Board games and stuff like that, but she doesn't like role playing and stuff like that. And of course, she'll hang out with my friends and she'll talk, but she doesn't like doing that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I did to thank her in this particular release for the Kickstarter is Queen Valrith. Her dress she's wearing is actually my wife's wedding dress that Jason actually sculpted on that particular miniature to say thank you to her.
Oh, that's cool! Wow, nice touch. Oh, very good. So you ran through the characters, and so we're in the final week of the Kickstarter. And what were some of the other goals the stretch goals that were to be unlocked? Because you said there were a few that were already unlocked. And mm-hmm. What else are you looking for in the campaign?
Roughly 5 days left now. The next stretch goal is a skeletal bowman, mm-hmm. which we're about a little over $1,000 away from hitting. Okay. That particular stretch goal. And then the one that everybody really wants is the Lich Queen. Is the big monster of the collection is mm-hmm. the next one after that. And now we do have other characters after that with to release for stretch goals if we hit the Lich Queen, but we're mm-hmm. running out of days.
Right, yeah. No, last week. Well, good. Well, we'll do what we can to let people know about this campaign, because it looks really good. And you chose really good sculptors to give you the old school feel. I mean, these do really remind me of the Ralpartha and Grenadier days of, D&D minis. And also doing the white metal. I think that the white metal is good for that, too. That material, is very nostalgic for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's the metal for me. Is more and more and more companies are getting away from the metal products and going into the soft plastics and the soft resin products, basically because it's cheaper. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to make it cheaper. I like the feel of the metal miniatures. And one thing that our company offers is if you break one of my miniatures, all you have to do is mail it back to me. I offer you a 5-year guarantee. Mm-hmm. And mail back to me and I'll replace the miniature for free.
Nice. That's great. I mean, and that really shows you're standing by, like, this is a long-term project and you're standing by your work. I think that's a great thing to offer, and it'll give people a lot of, even if they're a little hesitant, if they're new to miniatures and are a little hesitant about metal, I think that's a great reinforcement of what you're doing. That sounds good.
Oh, and I agree. I mean, it's not something that this is my love. This is my passion. This is what I do full time. It's Yeah, we're not a big company by no means. However, we stand by the product. And if you break it, I mean, I don't know how many times over the years, and I've got thousands of miniatures that have fallen off the table, and they've been metal miniatures, and they break. Mm-hmm. But if you come 4 years, 5 years down the road, generally those miniatures are out of print, and you can't get them.
Right.
And if you do, somebody has it, and they're asking for an arm and leg on it on the internet.
Yes.
In this case, I'm not retiring any of my miniatures. So they're out there. They're going to be out there. Just mail it back to me. We'll give you a new one.
That's great. That's great. And you said you were working with Fortress, the company that's actually producing. Are they domestic to the U.S. or where do they actually produce? Where are they?
Yeah, they're domestic to the U.S. They're in Indiana.
Oh, about
3 hours from me. We have a pretty good relationship. I've been to their foundry several times and they're close.
Nice. Oh, that's great. And so that means you have a good connection. You're not sending things back and forth between China and the U.S. and checking samples. That's good to hear.
No, don't have to send anything from China. We're not that big. We're not like some of my competitors.
right. But that's nice. I mean, supporting, especially for Americans that are looking at this Kickstarter, supporting a domestically produced product is a good thing. I think, people should be doing that, looking at independent companies that are keeping things, kind of as in-house as possible. I think that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's good domestically, but we also ship a lot of our stuff overseas. And one of the things I did on this particular Kickstarter, where I didn't do it last Kickstarter because I just didn't know, I partnered with some distributors to help out with the shipping and the VAT costs when you ship overseas.
Right.
Because those VAT costs really can get expensive.
Yes.
And if you compared my first Kickstarter to this Kickstarter, it's about half. Because I just didn't know. That's, again, it's one of those things I didn't know. Mm-hmm. When you start out, there's a lot of things you don't know about shipping and about VAT cost and things that we take for granted here in the state for taxes. Mm-hmm. Those aren't the same thing when you go overseas.
Right. Well, that's good.
So I tried to make things as cheap as we could possibly do. So people that are overseas or in Japan or in Europe or Australia, they can get our products as cheap as possible.
Mm. Nice. Yeah, I think that helps a lot. I think that's very encouraging for the international pledges to actually see that, they're not going to, it's not going to be an arm and a leg, and you have that kind of under control. And of course, that is always a big expense for companies doing Kickstarters is if you're not taking that into account, and like you're doing working with a distributor, it eats up your profit pretty fast.
Yeah, that's right. That's so true.
Yeah. So the pledge tier that is the complete catalog of your miniatures, what are some of your favorite miniatures in that group, and like what are the things that you're the most proud of that you've produced so far in the miniatures line?
Good question. Being that I've played D&D and role-playing essentially my whole life, by far the dwarves are my favorite character group, and that's why I released the dwarves first. I grew up playing dwarves. I love dwarves, and if you look at the 13 characters, it's a whole spread of all the character choices you can pick when you play a role-playing game. I mean, going from a cleric to a paladin to a tinker, a female tinker, to a wizard. I mean, the whole gamut is covered for somebody wanting to play a dwarf. And I really like the look that Jason did for our dwarves.
Oh yeah.
The monsters, on the other hand, are really, really cool. Bobby did a fabulous job. And on the first set, when we released it, I wanted to have a wide range of monsters released so people could see that, hey, these monsters, there's not a lot of them, but there's, what, 17 monsters, not a lot of them at this point, but you could see a wide range of the monsters that we're going to have in our collection as we grow. I mean, we have a spectral mage and a tomb guardian, a swamp troll, a mountain ogre, a large earth elemental, wraiths, medusas, fire imps. What else we have? A kobold, a serpent, hobgoblins. Oh, we have an air elemental. And then, of course, the granddaddy of them all is the large black dragon.
Yes.
We sculpt. And that's a 110 millimeter figure.
Wow.
So if somebody was to purchase that entire set of miniatures as it stands, plus the current Valorith Vampires, that set would cost just over $600 US.
Oh, wow.
In retail. Mm-hmm. So we have it on the pledge level, is if somebody pledges the all-in level, they can get it for $370.
Nice. Oh, yeah, that's a great deal for a lot of miniatures. Nice.
Yeah, so it comes out to roughly about, well, I think we're at, what, 42, 43 miniatures right now that they would get in the set.
Excellent. Wow. So let's talk a little bit about your release schedule for the rest of the year. So we've got Amazon's coming up in May, and then...
May 28th is the date we've set.
Okay.
Everything goes well.
Yes, right.
that is the projected date, yes.
Oh, nice. Oh, that sounds good. Let's see. What else would... is there anything else you wanted to mention specifically about the Kickstarter? Any details that we're kind of missing? So the rules are coming in the fall. So as you're releasing these the sets of miniatures, the factions, the rules will be coming up in the fall. And are you going to do any previews? Like in future Kickstarters, will you be doing some previews or kind of beta versions of any of the rules for people to take a look at?
Actually, good. Yes. In the future ones, yes. We actually... for our game and the background, you can go into the current Kickstarter and read there's an update that tells you a little bit about, there's an update in there that tells you how Queen Valorith and the vampires came about in our world. Oh. And it gives you essentially a background story of the vampires. In the future, we've hired for our company a tremendous writer from Germany that is helping write the full story of our world and how each faction interacts with each other. And he's also working on the dungeon supplements and some of the adventures and the encounters and stuff for us. He's doing an awesome job. But in the future, in the releases, we'll give more information, like the Amazons. We'll give the background of the Amazons, and we'll start releasing little tidbits here and there. At one of the conventions that we go to, like I said last year, it's called Origins here in Columbus. We will be demoing our game that entire convention on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, three times each day, so people can get a look at and be able to play the actual game itself, and we'll be demoing it.
Nice.
One thing I didn't mention is with all this games and all the miniatures that we're creating, the actual dungeon itself is a forgotten dwarven mine. We are producing and finishing up the details right now to go into print an actual 3D dungeon tile set that people play that is themed the dwarven dungeon. So as they go through, it'll be they'll start off as an old dwarven mine shaft, and as they play, it'll transgress into an actual dwarven mine. And then, of course, I'm not going to give too many details away because I don't want to give too many secrets away. But it essentially, people will be able to buy that box set and play that box set and tear the first level apart, or the first level of the dungeon apart, and then play the second level and play the third level. So they only have to buy one box set and play all the dungeon, all the levels of the dungeon with the one set.
Wow, that's great. I was going to ask you if you were going to do cards or tiles, but yeah, 3D dungeon tiles, that's great. That's going to add a lot of nice atmosphere and look. And if you're using that same set to continue the campaign, yeah, it's a really good idea. Really nice.
Yeah, and one nice part about the set is I have three dungeon tiles that I have printed, and you clip them together with the clips, and they're hard to clip together. One thing we did as a company is all our dungeon tiles are magnetically locked together, so there are no seams, and you can just pull them apart. And an average dungeon, the first average level dungeon, will only take between 3 to 4 hours of play at a time. So people can come play one set of dungeon, then tear it apart, and then come back later with the friends and play another dungeon and go on if they're time restricted. So it's not something that is hard to play. Now, if you don't want to buy the dungeon tiles, you don't have to. You can you can use your map boards.
Right. That's great. Well, yeah, I think that's a great option, though. That gives it a real nice feel. Well, good. Well, we definitely want to let people know about this current Kickstarter. And please, let's get in touch when you are doing the Amazons in May.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about that and as things continue. And we'd like to be, you know, involved as early as possible with the actual game rules themselves and do a playthrough kind of test stream and kind of take a look at how things are going and just kind of keep up with your project, because it sounds really fun and really exciting. And and also there are miniatures on the way, so we will be showing you the actual miniatures that Cass has been nice enough to send us. So we'll do an unboxing and give you an actual look at the miniatures this week.
That'd be great. You should have those hopefully by the end of the week. It just depends on how the postal service goes.
We sent
UPS, so it just depends on how long it takes.
Great. Okay. Well, good. And so the Kickstarter ends, it's in the last week, so it ends on the 15th of April. And we encourage everybody to have a look, because it's a great project. They're great miniatures. Both the dwarves and the vampires are really, they just hit that perfect old school tone. They're great sculpts, and they're useful for, of course, the game that Tomb Guardians is producing, as well as, you know, any of your D&D miniature and monster needs. I think they're really nice, really nicely done.
Well, I appreciate you having me on this evening. Evening my time, day your time.
Right.
But I do appreciate you having me on. We'll be in touch in the near future, so we can talk about the Amazons coming.
Yes.
Because that's roughly, I think I was told by one of our employees that it's only 48 days away, which I'm like, oh my gosh, it's only 48 days away. But so it's coming. So we'll be in touch so we can preview that here at the end of May.
That sounds great. Yeah, it was great to talk to you, and thank you so much. And please, everybody, have a look at the Kickstarter, the Queen of the Damned Kickstarter by Tomb Guardian Miniatures on Kickstarter. Ends April 15th, so take a look at it very soon. So thank you so much, Cass, for talking to me.
Thank you.
We'll be in touch.
Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Drive-Thru RPG. We average 9 new titles a day. That's over 60 a week, and we've got well over 15,000 RPG titles online right now. Drive-Thru RPG, the one true source for RPGs.
Road and makes me
Idle Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.